I believe we messed our lineup up. The heavy hitter's supposed to go last, I think. Sermon did an outstanding job. I first want to take the time to say that as doing this, taking part in these short talks and things, it really gives me a whole new respect for those who are doing the preaching and teaching the lessons here. It takes a lot of work to come up with the material to prepare a lesson, and I've only done a short talk here. I can only imagine what it'd be like for a whole lesson. So I do want to thank all those who take part and get up here and do teaching and preaching. That they put a lot of work into it. Anyway, whether we want to be or not, we're always in the spotlight as a Christian. Unfortunately, it's usually not because of the good things we're doing either. People are always examining us, and they're quick to spot our flaws and our shortcomings. It sometimes seems they're just waiting to get the chance to call us hypocritical. Even though these folks have the wrong attitude and shouldn't be focusing on bringing others down, we need to be concerned with our image as a Christian. We should be striving to have the best influences on others as we can. We need to be constantly examining ourselves to make sure we are representing the Lord well. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves." There are several things we sometimes do and get caught up in that just don't portray a good Christian attitude. I'm just going to look at a few of those tonight. The first one I want to look at is murmuring. Murmuring is one thing that we can easily be caught up in. To murmur means to grumble, whine, or complain, and it can make a person really look ugly. There are many examples of the sin of murmuring in the New Testament. The parable of the laborers is the one example I want to look at tonight. If you will, get your Bibles out with me and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 20. In the book of Matthew chapter 20, we have here the parable of the laborers. And Matthew chapter 20, we'll read verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he set them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when eve was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers which and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Did thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be the first, and the first last, for many be called, but few be chosen." The laborers murmured because they had received the same wages as those who had worked much shorter periods of time. Even though they got what they agreed upon, they still murmured. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 through 15 says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Let us be content and happy, as Sherman just spoke about, and not caught in murmuring. Also, our speech can really reflect negatively upon us. Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is to cuss, curse, use profanity, and talk dirty. It's amazing how a few little words can totally change how someone views you. The old saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all, should definitely apply to the speech of a Christian. Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Why would we want to identify ourselves with something God describes as dead, deceitful poison? I was heading home the other day, and there was an old man that had his truck stopped in the road. I saw him standing in a field to the side of the road, and he had been hauling one of those big plastic igloo doghouses, and he didn't have it tied down, and of course it had blown out of the back of his pickup and had busted and cracked. And he saw me approaching, and he had pieces of it in his hand, and I seen him just slam it down, give it a big karate kick, and run to his truck to move it out of the way. Well, I just rolled down my window and I asked him if I could do anything to help him, if I could help him load it back up. And he just looked at me grumbling and said, "Yeah, sure, you know." So he moves his truck to the side of the road and I go to help him. And if they had played our conversation on the radio or TV, well, nowadays they'd probably played the whole thing, but back a couple years ago, if they'd have played this conversation on the radio or TV, it would just been a constant beat. They would have blurred out the whole everything the man said. He had to be a sailor because that was honestly the most grumpiest, foul-mouthed man I've ever met in my life. But anyway, we got his doghouse loaded and got it tied down. And as he was fixing to get in his truck and speed off, he said, "God bless." And I got to thinking, you know, it really made me think. This man, just all that just came out of his mouth, and then he says, "God bless," as he drove away. If we're talking bad, and we do say something nice or say something about the Lord, that really has no effect, does it? Our attitude greatly affects our speech. If we are a discontent, negative Nelly, our speech will reflect that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of that heart, his mouth speaketh." And also in the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us to have sound speech that cannot be evil spoken of. Also, let's look, the way we dress can also reflect negatively upon us. During the next few months, immodest dress is not near as big an issue as it is in the summertime. We still need to keep in mind how we dress can affect our influence and identity. I'm not going to spend long on this point for time's sake, but I will read a few verses to get us thinking. The book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And also, over in a couple more pages over, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." We also need to be careful about the places we go and the people we associate with. This can affect negatively on us and greatly hurt our influence. If we're seen coming out of bars and liquor stores, even if we didn't drink, does that look good on us as a Christian? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Also, those people we associate with and hang out with can cause us to stumble and cause harm to our Christian image. Proverbs chapter 22 Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 through 25 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his way and entangle yourself in a snare." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." We need to choose our company wisely and not hang out with those who will cause us to fall. These are just a few things that affect our Christian identity. There are a lot of other things that can affect how we are viewed as Christians. And we need to constantly be aware of how others are viewing us, because we do want to have as much influence, good influence, on people as we can. If you are here tonight and have never obeyed the gospel, we urge you to do so while you still have the opportunity. The plan of salvation is very simple. The Lord has commanded us to hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must believe. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 tells us to repent. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We must confess. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven." We must be baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." It may not be easy to truly repent and turn from these things, but if we can do that, we can receive a home in heaven for eternity, and well, that's just well worth it. Also, if you have fallen away, the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee." If there's anything that we can do to help or assist you in any way, we just ask that you would please come forward tonight before it is everlasting too late, and while you do have that opportunity. If there's anything that we can do, just please come forward as we stand and as we sing.